Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is November 26th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm feeling a lot better than I probably will be on Friday. This is a recording from Tuesday, but you know, I'm probably in a turkey coma right about now. And just, you know, navigating some Black Friday deals probably.
The year in review continues apace. It is brought to you by Precision Pro Golf. We are splitting these up. I don't know what we're going to split these up at, an hour mark, 2 hour marks, but this is your sort of Thanksgiving portion of the year in review. You can enjoy them around Christmas. You can enjoy them, you know, the last, all on December 31st. I don't care.
You could go enjoy last year's too. Like if you wanted to catch up on what happened last year's or the year before, that's what these are. They're just historical markers.
We wanted to get some out around Thanksgiving holiday travel and certainly well before Christmas travel. We're usually just staring at each other around December 25th when everybody's already traveled and dropping 12 hours of podcasts on you. So we're getting them out early. This will be continuing the West Coast swing. Q1, just the content bonanza. We'll get through Genesis Open here tonight, picking up from Wednesday with the Patrick Reed embedded ball gate. It's brought to you by Precision Pro Golf. They are the official range finder of the Shotgun Start. They have Black Friday deals, if you can believe it or not. They are another commerce site with Black Friday deals. They have $55 off the NX9 Slope range finder. It's what I use. It's reliable. It works every time. It doesn't break the bank. And it's now $55 off.
It vibrates when you hit the pin.
That's true.
So you know, you know when you hit it.
They have lifetime battery replacement. They have expert customer service. We've talked about our guy Eric all year long, sending, you know, if there's a screw up, he'll get you a new one, which rarely happens, but someone ordered it to the wrong address and he's just said it's all good, we'll send you a different one to where you've moved. All sorts of stuff. Best customer service. They're supporting this year in review series, which may or may not have taken place without them. And right now, Black Friday, this is something, just lock it in, golf gift. It's a golf gift of substance, of utility. $55 off the NX9 Slope, $45 off the NX9 non-slope rangefinder. If you want to spend more money, you could use Shotgun20. That's our promo code. But Precision Pro Golf is the URL. And thanks to them for supporting the Year in Review series and really the Shotgun Start all year long. I think they'll be back with us for plenty more in 2022. But take care of your gift ideas now.
Hey, they're part of the Shotgun Start gift guide.
They are.
I might release my gift guide 2022, beginning of 2022.
Dude, like January.
New Year's gift guide.
Gift guides are officially passe. Also, in the Shotgun Start gift guide is the merchandise, which is $20, 20% off, $20 off.
20% off.
Automatically applied at checkout.
I believe so. I'm not positive.
God.
But I think that's how we've done it in the past.
Automatically applied, we think. That's at the Fried Egg Merchandise Shop, Pro Shop. Fried Egg Pro Shop. There's a Shotgun Start tab for that.
ProShop.TheFriedEgg.com. We got tons of stuff. Long sleeves, t-shirts,
turvises, hats,
yeah.
Winter hats,
polos,
wool hats, flannel hats, polos, legit Be Dratty polos, some great polos, some sport polos. We have some t-shirts on sale. Will Knights has stocked it well. There's some BFB shirts, but there's a lot of good, both
Silver
logos.
Slovak, the BFB Silver Slovak edition, which is, I think this will probably be a one-time run. It's Slovakian blue, but then with silver lettering.
Oh, so there's a story, a narrative behind the actual item.
You can get the regular one. I love my regular one.
Heather gray.
We have the regular. I've worn it on a plane. I've worn it during long care. I love it. I love the sweatshirt so much. It just is like my dependable gray sweatshirt.
So there's both the script logo and the shotgun logo, a bunch of hats, bunch of good long sleeves, polos. I don't know. 20% off is a good chunk of change. If significant other wants you to get a gift, Pro Shop Fried Egg. Also, you have a bunch of prints, right?
Yeah, golf tons of prints. We got like 60 golf courses up. So I'm sure you'll be able to find one that you like
if you want to support
the program.
Yeah.
And dress up, dress up your office, dress up wherever you watch golf, dress up your, you know, whatever it may be. Dress up somebody else's.
All right. Let's get to continuing our year.
You were talking about Lanto.
We're back on the read. Well, like this read embedded ball gate. I mean, it lasted all year, more or less, because Used Golf Facts was outed. The whole read narrative continued. Lanto, we had Xander saying he's protected by the tour. Lanto says his overall thoughts was, it's tough to see. It's sad. It kind of pisses us off, but it's the way it is. Hopefully something changes and comes to a conclusion. It's sad and it kind of pisses us off. Golf's a game of sportsmanship. It's tough to put us in a spot to call them out because we weren't at the day. But at the end of the day, I think 99% of golfers out here, if it's in question one way or another, they're going to go the other way. Not taking a drop. It didn't cross. That type of deal. 99%. That's like that's a straight on, head on critique of Patrick Reed, right? I mean, it pisses us off. It's sad. And Xander said they're protected. This, of course, ignited some text exchange, according to Reed's side. Oh, we're texting. It's fine. It's all good. We've made up. You know, I talked to him about it. We're all good. Rory was continually asked about it. Rory playing in Phoenix. Rory played like 7 out of the 8 weeks, you know, on both sides of the Atlantic. He's
didn't
playing
play
in
well.
Phoenix. No. So he's in Phoenix, and someone asked about Used Golf Facts.
Well, hold on.
What? What?
I wanted to just hit on, this was a big couple weeks for Lanto.
Oh, the steps?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was tempted to play the audio of that. I don't know how I could get it in front of the mic. Where he freaks out about having to go up the steps.
Can you send it to me? I'll get it dialed in for us.
Yeah, I'll get it. Yeah. All right, I'll find it. So Rory's asked about Used Golf Facts, right? And he says, quote, winking, I don't think it was Patrick. Could have been someone from the Reed family, but I don't think it was Patrick. So just straight up saying, you know, they're tweeting angrily about my drop on Saturday. Used Golf Facts is front and center still the next week. And they, of course, exonerate Rory with this mysterious email from a volunteer that claims they stepped on his ball. Just unbelievable sort of coverage on this. The Phoenix Open. Let's get to it.
Brooksy.
Oh, also, other news. Woozy announces he's back. He's coming back.
In a big way.
In a big way. I got my invitation to the 21 Masters. I'm going for it again after saying I wouldn't play again.
He went for it too hard.
But with the back operation, which has gone really well, I'm going to play again and can't wait. And this led to a week of Waffle House and sitting on the bench, which we'll get to at the Masters. Other random news. This was Saudi week on the European Tour. Apparently, Bryson was hitting drivers like into, I don't know, places where civilians were and other players. And they had to send out one of those text alerts the entire field.
Surprised they didn't
like,
put journalists out there.
If you're hitting driver. When you're hitting drivers, please aim to the right of the 300-yard sign. Like, aren't all these guys hitting drivers? So they had to aim right on one area where there weren't people. Martina is very angry. Martina and Rory, that their Instagram account, which is always a red flag if you're sharing Instagram account or email or anything. They're so angry. This place has at the circus that is the Phoenix Open. Mind you, there's only like 5,000 fans a day. This place has nothing to do with golf anymore. If you're a fan, come to the tournament to support the players. But letting people get drunk and only showing disrespect is so poor. I'm not coming ever, ever. I have guts to say it publicly. Signed, Martina Sabatini. So very angry at
doesn't
the scene
sound
on
like
16.
The silver Slovak will be back next year.
Lup is removed from Siwoo's shirt finally after winning at a Palm Springs. Bryson's in a Super Bowl commercial for Paramount Plus. Very big, big stroke of his ego. Very excited about being a Super Bowl commercial this weekend. Brooks, of course, I think weaves his way into a Mick Ultra one. What else? This is the week of the BetCast experiment. So, you know, everything comes out for the Phoenix Open. Everybody gets any kind of alternate feeds and alternate content. The BetCast is launched. And at one point, I think you compare this to the invasiveness of gambling promotion as compared to the heyday of marketing cigarettes to kids.
I still believe this. This is still... I think that we're all going to, like, there's going to be 16-year-old gambling addicts, and we're going to be like, "What? Why did we allow this to happen?"
JT, in that same vein, had a quote, like, really put it, started going out there on gambling. As a player, selfishly, I worry about any sort of sketchiness going on, whether it's communication within someone that's out on the grounds, could potentially yell or do something to affect a person that would have, say, a wager or something. And that's a serious, serious concern. So it was like the first guy to really go public with that, like, hey, gambling's out here, and now you know people can impact the field of play. What else? Oh, I mean, this is the USGA Distance Insights report is released this week. I mean, this could be its own separate event. There are with the input of manufacturers, they look into the local rule to curtail hitting distances in certain tournaments and the conformance specifications of clubs and balls. It proposes three potential equipment standard changes: reduction on driver length from 48 to 46, an update on testing methods for golf balls, a change to CT tolerance of drivers. There were three proposed changes and six areas of interest. We don't need to go into it bit by bit, but the areas of interest cover stuff from like shorter flying golf balls, smaller
driver heads.
Yeah, they receive feedback until November, which is the current moment. But it seems like we're headed towards like a model local rule, which is also another term, could be a term for bifurcation. So there was obviously quite a bit of reaction to this. Mike Davis, though, I thought a good Mike Davis quote on the release. This was in a Golf Digest article. I would almost go so far as to say that for those who don't think we have a problem, I would either say they haven't read the data or they have some personal conflict of interest. When you look at this data, it's so crystal clear that something needs to get done. This isn't about hurting golfers. It's the data is irrefutable. We have a problem and we've got to solve it. So he calls out, you know, you're not reading the data or you have a conflict of interest if you don't think there's an issue here. Another big thing that was amusing in this was that they included the tour's positions as of July 1, 2003 as like an appendix. You remember that last sheet?
Yeah.
Like the tour pledging support to, you know, test drivers and things like that. That was like an appendix. Here's some player reaction, which was interesting, to say the least. Webb Simpson, an equipment rollback is not what we need. We need to tweak our golf courses.
Yes.
I think the issue comes down to golf course architecture. We need more dog legs.
More trees.
We need tighter fairways. We need longer rough. We need smaller greens. And we need more firm greens, as if that's a thing. Lengthening the courses is not the issue. I think this was amusing. I forgot about this. I even think at Augusta on 13, we don't need that tee 40 yards back. What they need is a, quote, mid-sized tree 20 yards in front of the tee box and 5 feet left of the tee box, because the issue right now is guys can tee it up and go over it. I thought that was amazing. The specificity, mid-sized tree 20 yards in front and 5 feet left at 13. I think the fourth hole at Windfoot this year was perfect. There's a tree there with branches, so the bombers can't hit their cut over that bunker. I swear Bryson did that exact thing. Maybe I'm wrong, but I swear he did that exact thing. But yeah, he's on the architecture. He says distance lengthening courses doesn't matter. Webb, of course, said this in his Titleist hat. JT, here's what he said. He said it was extremely selfish, was what Justin Thomas's reaction to the distance report.
Of course. USGA being selfish.
I'm fine with them maybe not going any farther with it, but I think Tiger said a while ago that they missed that opportunity probably 20 or so years ago. Companies have put billions of dollars, I would say. I mean, I don't know what... I don't... Here's this funny. Companies have put billions of dollars, I would say. I mean, I don't know that. So I'll say millions of dollars in the construction of golf balls and equipment. To be perfectly honest, I think it would be extremely selfish of the USGA and the RNA to do that because all the hard work that they put in to make their equipment and golf balls as great as they possibly can, and maybe just take a step back and realize what we're doing, some pretty awesome things with the golf ball and our golf clubs. And look at your everyday golfer and go up to him and tell him what you want him to hit it shorter, because just the top 0.001% of all golfers are hitting it too far, if you will. Of course, you know, that just neglects the moment of bifurcation. And we had both a podcast and an article on Friday refuting some of this balance sheet, right? We had returns, and it's like the R&D is like 3% of their marketing budget, or 3% of sales over like a... 1 year period, you know, 4 year period, something like that. It was minuscule. The article's on Friday. We did a podcast. Someone supplied the tax, the balance sheet. The actual R&D is just a small percentage of their sales. And also the USGA spent $1 million over like 3 or 4 years on this distance insert reports. Minimal amount, but you know, that JT stuff was refuted. This also would also be refuting Rory's notion, his response. No one asked him about it on his press conference at Phoenix. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah.
He goes, no one asked me about equipment. I need to say something. So someone asked about equipment. He goes, I can't believe nobody asked me. The RNA, what the RNA and USGA are looking at golf through lens, such a tiny lens. 99.9% of golfers play for the enjoyment. The distance report has been a huge waste of time and money, which, again, we were... I think Janine Driscoll sent the Fried Egg a statement. They spent $1 million. USGA spent $1 million on it over several years. But Rory, like, also what got buried in that, like, the huge waste of time and money was the nut quote that went in every headline. And he also said, but right after that, he goes, yeah, it's fine. Bifurcation. We should look at splitting this. And, like, and he was on the record for bifurcation in the past. He understood that. Right? Like,
yeah.
If you want to show the most skilled golfers, try to display more skill, I'm okay with it. But the huge waste of time and money thing is sort of a contradiction there. Refreshingly, Bryson, just happy as a clam, happy as a pig and shit. I welcome it, as long as they don't change the human element. I'm going to play with whatever they give me. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to do what they say is legal, and I'll just go from there and find the best way to play for me under the rules of golf. And he sort of made this distinction. Like, if they start telling me, like, I can't swing a certain way, then I think I'd have an issue. But whatever the equipment is, and we can all use it. So, yeah, he kind of said he didn't pop off at it right away. Of course, there's, like, lots more discussion around this outside of the players and media, but this was a major development, major step. Let's get to the actual tournament. I would just say, one other thing, DJ absolutely nukes a volunteer or marshal in Saudi Arabia. Like, this is non Phoenix stuff. Like, there's no one there, absolutely no one around. And this is a viral video. I mean, every sports website, every, you know, random website out there, just on the fly, guy goes down like a sack of potatoes in Saudi Arabia. Dustin Johnson drive. Finau crumbled in Saudi Arabia, like, just lays up and makes a bogey, and DJ wins. Golf.com had an article about Saudi Arabia trying to spark the golf craze and Jack's, you know, involvement in building a course there. Other news before we get to Phoenix. Stricker, who played awesome. He goes, you know, deep down I'm a Bears fan, but when the Bears are out of it, I root for the Pack.
So
it was sad to see them lose, but now I guess I'm kind of on the Brady bandwagon. So he went from Bears to Pack to Tom Brady.
Just absurd.
What? Just no principle. PGA says they'll allow DMDs. Rangefinders for the PGA Championship, and Annika announces. All right, whatever. I'm bleeding into next week. All right, let's get to the play. Look, Saturday, I went back. I like tried to relive it on Twitter. Spieth Saturday shoots a 61, makes 10 birdies, 8 pars. It might have been the best day on Twitter in golf for this past year. Just people so excited. And like, you know, if there's some sort of counter argument, like, well, the PGA Tour product can be good, I would say this is probably pretty much impossible to replicate ever again. You have this guy who won three majors right out of the gate. He's this fan favorite. He wanders in the wilderness, shows no signs of life. And then all of a sudden, he's just making everything. He missed the cut at Torrey. And he shot 68 the first two rounds of Phoenix. And this was just completely electric Saturday. I think is maybe the best day. Super fun. Everyone was just having a blast. He, of course, was still awful off the tee. I think he was almost last off the tee, but got it done on the green, and then certainly with his approaches. He rolls in like the two bombs on Saturday. He was 43rd in strokes gained off the tee, but he was still leading the field in tee to green. So he's 43rd off the tee, but led the field in tee to green, just to give you an indication of, you know, the approach play and sort of the scrambling to get back in play after a bunch of miss hits. What else on Saturday? Some more stats on Spieth. He went birdie, missed a 12-footer for birdie, birdie, par, birdie, lipped out of birdie, and then birdie. So he had like eight straight birdie, legit birdie chances in a row. Just complete electric day on Twitter while losing strokes off the field. There was that drama. So 16, I think he made like a 66-footer. On 17, there was the issue where he pointed across the lake. Do you remember this? Across the pond. There's some guy in a Borat costume who's like, his friends were trying to goad him into jumping in the water. Remember, there's only 5,000 fans. And he's getting arrested. And he talks about that. They wanted him to jump in the water, and he was trying to and resisting. He was dressed like Borat, I think. So he definitely came to have a good time. I don't think he's having a great time right now. I didn't realize he was getting arrested at the time, but I was having fun with it. So he makes the putt and points at him across the water on 17. This all, like, it's birdie 16, birdie 17. Did most of it, like, with approach play. And those two enormous putts at 16, 17 just took it to a whole different level. What else happened with Spieth? He had had a top 10 in 8 months. He was 92nd in the world. He just sprayed every drives, all his drives. His 10 birdies were a career high. I know this is like getting into the nitty gritty we don't do too often, but that was like an all-time day that you're going to get on the PGA Tour. Sunday, he struggles to a 72, finishes T4, but it was all set up. There was like so much hype coming into Sunday. You have the Super Bowl, of course, but we had Spieth and Schauffele were tied for the lead. Scheffler was in the final group, three back. And then you had JT, Brooks, Stricker, and Zalatoris all in the top 10. So like a loaded top 10. You had a very actual prescient tweet. Let me find it here. What'd you say? You're like lost in the hoopla of the... lost a bit in the Spieth hysteria is how great of a finish Brooks had, birdie in the last five. It made me think of how we unfortunately have never had a major where Spieth, Brooks were both in the mix late Sunday, and they've won seven of them in the last 6 years. So while everyone was going nuts about Spieth, he mentioned, oh, by the way, Brooks birdied his last five. And of course, Brooks would go on to win on Sunday, also kind of lost in the shuffle again. Like James Hahn at one point held the lead on Sunday, and everybody's
forgot about that.
Ganem style gifts were coming out of the woodwork like crazy. But the big one for Brooks, the memorable shot, you know, the drivable par, par 4, 17, he chips in for eagle there. He played 13 through 18, 10 under. So 5 under on Saturday, 5 under on Sunday on those last 5 finishing holes, or 6 finishing holes, I should say. Afterwards, he talks about how he was in a dark place. He was 11 under on his last 24 holes. Just a ridiculous, you know, building off that Saturday finish. But afterwards, he says, I was in a dark place, not knowing if I was ever going to be the same golfer. I questioned myself for the first time in my life whether I could do this again. There was a lot of pain, a lot of tears, and frustration. something about like his knee, the uncertainty, sort of the mental anguish that came with sort of whether he would ever be physically capable of being the golfer he was, and kind of comes right out and says, you know, there were pain and tears and frustration. Finau, of course, flames out again. It finishes like another, or, I'm sorry, he was in Saudi Arabia. We already hit on that. I had that mixed up. What else do we have here on Phoenix? Xander was awful. Xander, this like the whole like there's a lot of like counter argument on Xander. He was really bad from the start alongside Spieth and never really threatened. What else do we have? I think that's it. That covers it with Brooks. Yeah.
All right.
The big chip in. Brooksy gets off the Schneid, wins.
All right. Pebble.
Let's go. Pebble.
This is a week of nothing. There was I don't think there was any other tour playing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Saudis screwed up the Pebble event. There's no pro am. So it was actually a delightful tournament.
Oh, that's right. DJWD'd, right?
Yeah, DJWD'd. So there's no player in the top 10 in the world and only 5 of the top 50 in the world at Pebble Beach, which is, you know, long-standing, you know, big-time event on the PGA Tour schedule. Just nobody showed up. So not a ton going on, but this week you slandered local news.
Oh my God. Come on. We're bringing this up in your review.
Yeah.
You're dredging this up.
You slandered local news and Lou Turner.
Oh God.
Great local news anchor in Jacksonville responded. You ready for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you got it on audio? Dialed up. God.
Look at that. Dropped it in. How about this new technology?
How about that?
I was just excited to drop in audio.
Pretty good. There you go.
So Daniel Berger won. He made two eagles on Sunday, including an eagle on the last to win by 2 over Maverick McNealy. McNealy birdied his 5 of his last 8 holes to get the clubhouse lead. So it was like a crazy flurry at the end. For the second week in a row, Jordan Spieth failed to convert a 54-hole lead. But it was, you know, it was Spieth hysteria again. Just like you remarked last week, you know, it was more proof that it wasn't just smoke and mirrors as a lot of other top tens, the you know, few top tens had been. So it was his first back-to-back top fives since April of 2018. If you remember, like probably the peak of the week was when he holed out the shot on 16.
Oh, that's right.
It was a mud that's ball, right. And he holed it out from, you know, 160 yards, I think.
Yep. That was a big deal.
He talked after about like how he felt like he didn't drive it great. You know, his putting going into the final round, he was like something like 45th in strokes gained putting. So it was like done with his ball striking. And, you know, he didn't drive it great on Sunday, but he was in there. It kind of all fell apart where on 14, there was like, if you remember the coverage, there's an awesome like 1.5 minute discussion between him and Greller on his wedge shot on 14.
Yeah,
where Greller was trying to get him to hit, you know, like in caddy speak, just like trying to convince him to take one extra. Spieth took the shorter club, dumped it short, and made a kind of a backbreaking bogey there. The week started off with a bang when Frankie Molinari topped his 3-wood on the 10th tee. And he was such a great sport about it. I mean, everybody was going nuts. And then he, you know, tweeted like something. I think it was like, man, did something happen today?
That's right. That went viral, right? I mean, he just duffed it. Yeah. He just topped it right in there.
Again, this is the thing with like the distance stuff. If the If the driver was smaller, we'd see a little bit more fear. This was a three wood. Bryson topped a three wood in the final group of the players. Like, this shit happens when the heads are small. So Berger's win. He had two victories and five top fives and 10 top tens in his last 14 months. So this was kind of another stamp. Obviously, he won early out of the pandemic. What was it? Did he win
Colonial? Colonial. Right? Did he win Colonial or Markel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The coverage on Sunday. The coverage went out on 6, 7, 8.
Every year this happens at Pebble. The coverage gap, right?
Just absurd.
Which reminds me of nugget I saw with Torrey Pines, the Farmers. Patrick Reed afterwards said my best shot of the day was at 6, and we never saw it. Like, my best hole of the championship was at 6. And you're like, imagine this. Like, the guy, I saw a tweet of yours, like, you know, Steph Curry saying my best steal or my best shot of the season or my best shot of the week or the game, and it just wasn't available. But anyways, the gap lives on, and it's always at a bad time at Pebble. So,
yeah. It's always a horrible time.
6, 7, 8.
It happens at Riv always too. It's like 5, 6.
Five and six. 5 and 6.
Lashley, Nate Lashley was in the mix. Oh. He was leading, and he four putted from 13 feet. I think it was on the 14th or 15th. It was on the 15th hole, and okay. He went nuts on the green. He took a chunk out of the green. Which obviously everybody went crazy
property
about.
Property damage.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like the reaction was so absurd. There's huge setup changes because they didn't have the amps.
Right?
Yeah.
On 10 or 9 or
so
something?
So 5, nine. They moved the tee way up, and then 10, they moved the tee way up. And 10 was like drivable. It was so cool.
That's right.
But they can't do usually because of fans and the amateurs.
That's right. That makes sense.
You were incredulous about not only local news, but PGA Tour Live. You tweeted, obscene amount of commercials have crept in for a paid $10 a month subscription service like PGA Tour Live. I just got 3 consecutive ads for Champion Tour, the Players, and TPC Network, and no flexibility to show any speed shots last 30 minutes. What do they want this product to be?
I mean, it's like paying for the subscription plus the commercials. Anyways.
All right. Two other things. Jolie D and Shaggy Kang got paired together for the first time since TPC Potomac years ago when David called him out about being a cheater.
Cheater. Yeah.
And David tweeted, like, he tweeted the text message that they were paired together with, like, an emoji, like a shocked face, like,
uh-oh.
Yeah. And then Gino Benelli, his caddy,
yeah,
tweeted, sunk gang to Joel on the first tee. My friends told me I should push you off the cliff.
Forgot about that. That was a good moment.
One last thing. On the podcast, we dubbed, who did we dub? I'm going to have you guess. Who did we dub as the rich man's Kelly Kraft?
Rich man's Kelly Kraft?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, I can't even begin to guess. I mean, they have to have a win or two, but also just sort of the creative player.
Once sponsored by Skechers. He might still be, I don't know.
Not Kuchar. Russell Knox?
Yeah. Rue.
Really?
Rue Knox.
Of course. The rich man's Kelly Kraft. Of course. Who could forget?
It's a great nickname, right?
It is. That's a good one. I like that.
That's good stuff. That's it.
I just remember that, like, I know it was a nothing burger, but CBS touting their ratings for that Pebble, I guess, were like monstrous with Spieth in the lead. And Phoenix was similar, but you had all the Super Bowl stuff. Spieth just, this like 2 weeks of Spieth stuff was a real lightning bolt that I don't think people people didn't see coming. It's that Saturday at Phoenix and then Sunday going to the lead. But it fizzled both times. All right, we're on to Genesis. That Los Angeles Open, otherwise known as the Genesis Invitational. Probably, you know, the best non-major of the year annually. Although this year, another narrative we were trying to snuff out. There's this notion of the elevated status slam that started to creep into the lingo of like a guy who could, he's been close. He's had a runner up in Memorial and Bay Hill and he's won at Riviera. The term elevated status slam started to creep into the lingo this week at the Genesis Invitational. What else happened this week? Bassi Munoz debuts the Flex Seal endorsement. And I mean, look, a lot of ridiculous things that are mentioned on this podcast come to reality. This BFB, you know, making it to the Olympics. I think that we started talking about Spieth being held or golfers being held together by Flex Seal, and then a couple weeks later, some guy has an actual Flex Seal endorsement. It was
unbelievable.
The turn I truly did not see coming. The conditions were fantastic. It was firm and fast. There was a lot of talk about thuds and the height off some of the bounces, especially into par threes, you know, where you're hitting high lofted clubs Thursday and Friday. Cantlay, I think this was notable, hit a stinger. This was everybody drooling. He hit a stinger that went 18 feet off the ground, landed at 200 and rolled out to 280 at number five. I think it was five. That's where the fairway breaks up, right? And yeah. So he hit a stinger and rolled out to 280, which I didn't even know you get that far on that. But just to give you an indication of how firm and fast it was through Thursday and Friday, this, of course, becomes somewhat of an issue when we get to Saturday and the wind starts to gust. There was wind in the forecast. They presumed it would come later, but it came earlier. It's gusting at 20 with, you know, 20 to 25, but there's some concern it's going to go to 30 and maybe even 40. But the blimp, notably the blimp, and the drone never come down. I think that was the case. They said they never took those out of the air. So we end up with a four-hour wind delay.
They just totally overcooked the greens.
They're syringing the greens during the delay. What they hastened this was some equipment that fell, some communications equipment that fell near the 14th green. Of course, they started to say this was a dangerous weather situation. But we all watched as, you know, Keegan Bradley putted through the 10th green. He putted from the front of the 10th all the way through to a back pin. It goes down like the sliver of green in between the bunkers. But that happened before they had called play. Then this tower allegedly blows over at 14 and you're all over it. You're like, they're watering the greens. It's not like a dangerous weather situation. It's not inclement. It's suspended for inclement weather and dangerous weather. And they're using this guise of like, this equipment that fell over, you know, some chair or something fell over in the wind. But meanwhile, like if that's the case, they wouldn't be watering the shit out of the greens during this delay. So like, it you know, I don't think we hammered them on this. Like they had it.
They
it's
just
a hard
overcooked
thing to do.
It.
It's a hard
this
thing
This is the
to
thing.
Do.
It's the line. Like the line for professional golf so thin now that this is what you have to do.
Right. Yep. So they kept pushing it back and pushing it back with several false starts. There are guys down on the range having a bit of fun. Like I know Spieth was hitting like these like kind of slicers that would the ball would come back and land like almost at the point where he hit it. Rahm was having fun hitting these ridiculous cuts in the wind on the range. But of course they were down at the range. So they say we're restarting at 120.
Down in the canyon. The first tee, the clubhouse is up at the top of the canyon.
Right. It's a walk. It's some cardio, getting up, getting down and up. But they say we're going at 120, and then, you know, all of a sudden the tournament director, whoever goes down, like, guys, we're not going. And this is infamously where a bunch of caddies, and Lanto specifically, get worked up that they've told them, you know, go warm up when, in fact, they're not.
Look at that.
Lanto. That was the steps gate, the class act where they got
that?
Caught.
Could you hear that?
No, I can't hear it. I'm just going blind. So I watched
hope it's
it.
In
I did
there.
The research.
You know, I hope it's I hope in, it's there, in too. There.
Was that just dead air?
It could be. We'll find out. We're trying.
So anyways, they were changing cups, watering the green during this whole delay. Rintoul frames it as a piece of communications equipment, made it a dangerous situation. At the time, Sam Burns had a 5-shot lead heading into Saturday. It just slowly bled out. But he slowly bled it out on Saturday. Of course, they did not finish Saturday night after the 4-hour delay. The leaders had to come back Sunday morning. So we got like, I don't know, it was kind of a great watch Saturday and like the gloaming and the sunset. And then you got really good early golf with a bunch of shots showing Sunday morning as like the last few groups played, I don't know, 4 or 5 holes. We ended up with Max Homa, Sam Burns' lead slowly whittled, but he did come back on Sunday. He went out in 31 and his front nine closed at 38 to fall a shot out of the playoff. That would be Max Homa and Tony Finau, which we'll get to in just a moment. What else happened? Good. It's sort of rebuttal, certainly, to Pepe Peter and others about angles don't matter. You had Joe Skovran talking about the conditioning this week, caddy for Ricky. When Ricky Fowler is playing like this, it is the best course on tour. So many subtle nuances that make you play golf, quote unquote. Rough isn't high, but playing from it doesn't allow you to get it close to a lot of pins. And approach angles, shot shape matter. Approach angles, shot shape matter. This was another thing you were hitting on. The rough was like low enough. And Spieth talked about this too. The rough was low enough that it was unpredictable. So you had to be in the fairway so you could get it to the corners that you wanted to. Tiger Woods himself, while appearing on air on Sunday, looking quite disoriented, worse for the wear, not great. And of course he'd have his accident the next day. But
that's
he did
not
say
the next one, right?
Yeah, we're not doing that. He did say angles out here matter so much. He says that on Sunday. So good weekend for angles. The Genesis CEO buttoned up this year. His shirt wasn't flying open. He didn't have his chest flying out. He wore a tie, I believe. He went, 180 degrees the other way. Just had a tie. I think he had a vest too. He might have been a 3-piece suit, just covering as much of his upper torso as possible and stark contrast to the prior year. What else do we have here? Tyler McCumber, this was a big one. Slammed his finger in a window, and he's booking a flight to go home. He's going to withdraw. But then the on-site surgeon like rips his fingernail off. Oh. They just take his whole fingernail off. Oh. And so he like cuts the top of his glove off, and he's putting like with a bandage on his finger out of his glove. But he's like 10 under. He's like in contention right away. Immediately comes out. He was a factor all weekend. There were cardboard cutouts of people. This was so dumb. They had no fans in LA, but they had cardboard cutouts of people all around the par threes. And it was like, curiously, there were like Warriors players like Draymond Green, Steph Curry, but they're like in Los Angeles where the Lakers were the defending champions. It was just
nobody
bizarre.
Likes LeBron. That's why
Damon Hack and Shane Bacon, there were cutouts of like everybody, Golf Channel. Like, I don't know. It was an odd thing that curiously they stayed up in the wind. It was too dangerous for the play, but the cardboard cutouts held up. CBS, to their credit, had a bunch of cool camera angles. They had the drone. They had something over 8. Mm-hmm. Is that the split fairway? 8, yeah. Right? And like they had a bunch of cool stuff that people were raving about. Sunday AM, I couldn't find evidence of this, but apparently Jason Kokrak went nuts on a volunteer when they did the restart. It was only on PGA Tour Live, so I think nobody captured the video, but he went crazy on a volunteer on PGA Tour Live. What else? Other odds and ends before we get to the resolution. Angus Flanagan wins the college collegiate showcase, which made you wander off into famous Anguses that played golf. There was a limited set. Willie Mack III gets the Charlie Sifford exemption. Really acquits himself pretty well there. DJ was disappointing on par fives, which led to, I think it was Dottie Pepper on the telecast says, DJ Prince FedEx Cup points on par fives, which was just a completely offensive Prince money, but just crowbarring of the brand in there. PGA Tour communications still happening. The PGA Tour has experienced a service outage on its web and app leaderboards. They also tweeted this at Phoenix. I forgot to mention it, Phoenix. Scoring remains available through the TourCast and TourPulse platforms, as well as the top five leaderboard on the PGA Tour app homepage. Updates will be provided as the situation changes. So just every week, outages. It's happening. People are furious. It's five holes behind. Oh, Bryson, a bunch of big names flamed out. DJT was bad. Rory was bad. Bryson was not great. Bryson and JT, or I think it was Bryson and Rory, got paired with Andrew Putnam, who was a late fill-in for a WD.
He was on PGA Tour Live, right?
Yeah, with these guys hitting at 380 yards, and then you had Andrew Putnam on PGA Tour Live, but he played all right.
Was this the one he finished T4 in that nobody, shown a shot of his?
Phoenix. He got lost in like the Spieth Xander Brooks show. Phoenix the week before or 2 weeks before, I think. But Bryson's hitting balls like total darkness. Ridiculous. There's all these footage. And I know this is a recurring theme, but it might be the worst one. It's like Jay Gatsby looking off into the light, the solo light out there on the range from the high up top, you know, clubhouse. It's just this idiot, this light at the end of the range at Riviera. And he just slowly did the time lapse of it. There's like nothing productive happening, but it was made for a cool image of this light at the end of the range. What else happened this week? So Finau and Homa, this is the resolution on Sunday. Finau, to his credit, he loses in the playoff. He had the best round of the day. He shot a 64,
and
tough conditions.
And Homa missed a short putt on 18.
To force
the playoff.
Homa stuffs it on 18, misses a birdie putt from, I don't know, four, five
three
feet.
He kind of missed it.
Hit it low. He said he choked. Used the C word. But Finau, I think he led the strokes. He gained 6.6 strokes on Sunday. He was sixth round of the day by two shots. So it wasn't like he played poorly or gagged it. He pushed Homa. But Ed Max, you know, misses on 18. Then he gets a text from his wife. He says his wife texted him, "Forgive quickly," which was like one of his mantras. And, you know, he kind of rights the ship, gets back on the horse. There's people like kind of giving him shit for looking at his phone on the range in between the regulation and playoff. But it was probably that text, right? The forgive quickly that reset him for the playoff. Of course, on the playoff at 10, he hits one like more or less against one of the tree trunks.
Yeah.
Left.
Oh, that was an unbelievable shot. I forgot about that.
And he hit it like against the tree trunk on the first playoff hole. But he claims it wasn't like as bad as it looks. He gets up. He two putts for par. You know, Finau played great on Sunday, though the playoff on 10, he put his ball in perfect position and chipped up, hit a poor chip and missed like a 7-foot birdie putt that would have won it. Then on the second playoff hole, 14, he dumps in the bunker and can't get up and down to save par. Loses the playoff. Great, great Sunday, but poor playoff. And the runner-up thing continues. Homa is in tears. He goes, "I've been watching this tournament my whole life. It's the reason I fell in love with golf." You know, he tweets about like, you know, "I tried for 12 years to get a high five from Tiger at this event. And today he's handing me a trophy here. Like, what a ridiculous world." And talks about LA being a city of champions and just sort of, you know, one of the great moments of the season. So anything else here? Just an amazing run here with the speed stuff, LA, the conditions. The Saturday wind delay was an all-time Twitter day as well. People getting worked up and with the knives out. Because it sucked. Everybody was so
pumped.
Remember
that putt? I think the footage came on air with the putt just like rolling back down 10.
Keegan. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. 10.
Yeah.
Went through the bunker. It found the sliver between two bunkers. Yeah. And just, yeah, de-greened on 10. And so people are so excited given the conditions they'd seen the first 2 days and then a little bit of wind and then it just got robbed of us. It was still hard, but it kind of like, you heard Faldo was like, "Oh, it's idyllic out there now." It was not what the day had been planned for.
One thing you missed.
Yeah.
was the A&A announced that there wouldn't be a great wall, the great big blue wall.
Yeah. I had a couple other things. Yeah, Mike Wann is named USGA CEO. Rory becomes the PAC president. And it officially becomes the WGC World Golf Championship Workday Championship at the concession. That's the longest title in golf. Workday steps in for that. That's the other odds and ends. That brings us to our end, part two. You have anything else from Genesis?
It'll be a morbid start to the part three, but we'll get through it and it'll be more positive by the end of it.
Tiger's accident. But yeah, we'll get back on the horse. Hopefully everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving.
Check out our Black Friday sale. Check out Precision Pro's Black Friday sale. Thank you to them for sponsoring. And we'll see you on Monday?
Monday, maybe. We'll continue our year in review. Thank you, guys. Hopefully you're having a good holiday. Thank you for your continued support of the podcast and the year in review.